Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is made possible in part by a grant from First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question of Christians being persecuted. Our last caller seemed to think that Christians are not being persecuted, and the churches and the Christians ought to just bow and bend. You get back to the book of Daniel, in the sixth chapter of Daniel, the law was limited, said just for 30 days. The law was legal because the king signed it into law. There was no question he had the authority to sign it into law. There's no question he had the authorization to do so. But I want us to understand the motive of what took place. The scripture says in Daniel 6 and verse 7 that all the politicians, all the princes, and all the governors said that it's okay and encouraged the king to go ahead and sign it into law. But ladies and gentlemen, the purpose for that being signed into law was because if you look at the first five verses of Daniel, the sixth chapter, is because Daniel's being considered to be promoted to the chief, if you please, prince and the leadership of the nation. And as a result of that, they searched through his garbage cans, couldn't find anything about him. They went through all of his emails and couldn't find anything about him. They watched his life and said, the only thing we can do is curtail his spirituality and to prevent him from praying. And so therefore, they had the law so highly refined in its legal sense, but a limited period of time of 30 days, that said that no man can pray to any god, any person, except for the king. And it prevented Daniel, they wanted him to prevent him from being elected or promoted to that headship position over the nation. But the law was not only limited and a legal law, but ladies and gentlemen, that law in the book of Daniel, the sixth chapter, was a license. It was a license to prevent Daniel from praying. Daniel could have simply said, oh, why not obey? It's just limited. Why not just allow me to be persecuted in my faith? It's just for 30 days. Why not just go ahead and bow to the government? Because the government, after all, has the authority to do so. But the authority of the government is limited when it comes to overshadowing or preventing the word of God from going forth and from the child of God to being obedient to the word of God. It was Peter in the fifth chapter of Acts, the 29th verse, said, well, to obey God rather than man. I'm not advocating anarchy. I'm not talking about we try to stand up and fight the government. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be some kind of balance in what is being done and said in relationship to this that is taking place in our nation today. We need to recognize that there needs to be a limitation to the powers of government when it comes to shutting down the churches and the churches simply saying yes to the government. Greg, what do you say to that?
I went to Walmart the other day. There were about 1,000 folks inside Walmart, and we didn't have any law enforcement keeping us apart because we're adults. You know, we're mature adults, and we know, you know, to avoid that person that's coughing or hacking. By the way, there wasn't anybody coughing or hacking inside Walmart. But we're also U.S. citizens. And I think somehow or another, this last caller, and God bless him, I think he probably was very sincere. But somehow or another, sometimes
Hitler
Christians are seen as second
wrong.
Time.
You hear that? Yeah, Hitler was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong.
Wow. But we're not second-class citizens. Paul, in the book of Acts, he warned those Roman guards. He said, you know, it's not lawful for you to do this to a Roman citizen. And literally, there was a pucker factor going on. Those folks immediately, they went back and warned the chief that, hey, you know, we're dealing with a Roman citizen here. That has been lost, it seems like, in America. Somehow or another, all of a sudden, the church, the Christians, the ecclesia, you know, somehow or another, we're second-class citizens in some people's eyes. And that's not true. That's not correct. And I want to make sure that the listeners here know what you are advocating. Because I think sometimes, people get tagged as, extremist in a negative light when they just want to stand on constitutional principles, when they just want to stand on Christian principles. You're not advocating that sick people get together with well people and make everybody sick. You're not advocating folks come in and cough and hack, and that's just fine. Let's cough and hack all over one another and love one another, you know, as God loved it. That's not what you're advocating. You're not advocating taking individuals that are questionable and putting them in a room full of people that are healthy in order to make healthy people sick. That's not what you're advocating, is it? You're advocating just for the freedom of free association and free worship, right?
Absolutely. The foundation of the United States of America, our foundational doctrine, documents, our founding fathers, that which we have lived by for these almost 250 years, all based upon a God-given right from the Word of God that's codified in the documents and confirmed by our Supreme Court.
What's your understanding? I know that I would differ with that preacher on a million points of doctrine, probably. I'm sure that you would differ with him on points of doctrine. But the preacher that was arrested down in Tampa and released on $500 bond, by the way, folks, that lets you know how seriously the government takes it, his released on $500 bond. Nonetheless, you know, he was arrested. What is your understanding of what was taking place in that church? Was he inviting sick people to come back, folks, or was he under the misguided assumption that, hey, you know, God's going to protect all of us from this thing, so even if you bring that virus in here, we're not going to get it? Is that what was going on? Is that what you understand, or do you understand something differently? Because I understand something differently.
In fact, Greg, I'm glad you brought that up, and we've got another caller on the line, but I'm going to ask him to hold a few moments, and let's work through this moment, and then we will entertain his questions or comments. Here's an article from Matt Staver. Matt Staver of Liberty Council is now the counsel for Rodney Howard Brown, the pastor in Hillsborough County, that was just arrested. And this is a press release, and it's a press conference from Liberty Council, Matt Staver. Matt Staver is the president and chief counsel for Liberty Council. This says, in a press conference held this past weekend, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio threatened to permanently close any church that refused to obey his unconstitutional orders. This is a constitutional attorney speaking. If de Blasio and his fellow anti-Christian travelers get their way, for the first time in America history, not a single American church will be open for Easter Sunday. Quote, tell the politicians we will not stand for the closure of our churches and the arrest of our pastors, end quote. Further, Matt Staver says, everyone has been instructed that if they see worship services going on, they will go to the officials of the congregation. They'll inform them that they need to stop the services and disperse. If that does not happen, they will take additional action to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently, according to Mayor Bill de Blasio. Liberty Council is already preparing, representing one pastor, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who was arrested yesterday for opening his church, the River Church of Tampa, Florida, to people who needed the comfort of the Lord as well as the food from their farmer's market. They had a large farmer's market feeding the hungry in their city. This article further says, never mind that Pastor Brown's church has gone far and beyond state, local, and CDC guidelines for safety, including installation of hospital-grade antimicrobial air purification system that are certified to destroy all microbes. They had invested about $100,000, by the way, Greg, to do that. Never mind the fact that the church complied with all social distance orders by placing each family 6 foot or more apart from each other attending families and giving each attendee hand sanitizers. Never mind that the farmer's market, like the one held by the church and specifically exempted from and allowed by the county to shut down order. Never mind that the church staff members wore gloves or the church itself took a higher level of precaution than the sheriff's own press conference announcing the arrest of Pastor Brown. Never mind the Constitution or the laws. Hillsborough County Sheriff's Clad Chad Constier wants the church closed, just like New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. Meantime, Home Depot are filled with people not doing the social distancing. Hillsborough County does not believe that churches are essential, but buying a pot or potted plants, liquor, or killing innocent babies in the womb is essential. The fact is that churches, including our client, the River City of Tampa, Florida, and are obeying safety guidelines, but the enemy wants to close our churches and to shut us down. The article further says, this is Matt Staver, don't let churches be closed on Easter Sunday for the first time in American history. Take a stand today. Easter Sunday is coming. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that we as believers will be persecuted and prosecuted for living our faith. The Bible tells us that we will be attacked. The Bible tells us that we will be mocked. the Bible even tells us that we'll be persecuted. But the Bible also tells us that we shall not falter in the face of any of these trials. The attacks have come against us in the time that will be relentless. But we must double down on our faith in the Lord. We must refuse to falter in the face of fear and fear-mongering in America. The Bible told us there would be such times when believers would be persecuted for following the Lord. Our previous caller didn't believe that, by the way. And for the first time in American history, anti-Christian forces in both the physical and spiritual realm are trying to ensure that not a single church in America will be open to celebrate God's covenant over us through our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Easter Sunday. It is my fervent prayer that believers, the followers of Christ, will rise up in one body despite the ridicule, the persecution, the prosecution, the demonic and spiritual and even physical attacks against us. It is my fervent prayer that every child of God will rise at this critical time in history to refuse to be silenced and using silencing measures imposed upon us by ungodly government and stand strong for Jesus Christ, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. Greg, how do you respond to that statement? You asked the question about that, Pastor. How do you respond to Matt Staver's statement?
They've covered all the bases there. I'll tell you what, it seemed like he went the extra mile. Again, I may disagree with a lot of what he teaches. However, he went the extra mile. The church went the extra mile to make sure that those that were with them that day were safe. And, of course, nobody dragged anybody into that service. This
They're
is what you call
making adult freedom. Decisions,
yeah. Exactly. Freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom to go and worship as you so please. I mean, this is a very important principle. We need not to lose this. There's not an articulated provision that gives you a dedicated right to go to Walmart or a dedicated right to go to Home Depot, but there is a dedicated right to religious liberty, religious freedom. Folks, don't forget this. Don't let it slide so easily. Don't let it slip from your grasp as if it's not important. I know that you probably have another call still waiting now, so I'll be happy to sit on hold.
I just got word from our screener that they hung up, so they can call back. We'd love to talk with them, love to hear their opinions and input. Here's an article. Greg says, Lee County Community members park and pray for hospital staff. It's Lee County, Alabama. He said the Lee County residents are showing up, showing their support for the hospital workers. It is called Park and Pray. Every morning and every night at 7 o'clock, the community parks outside the East Alabama Medical Center parking lot to pray for the hospital staff. About 30 minutes of prayer, they flash the lights, blow their horns, signal, and leave. That talks about then the one that's helping to organize that effort. It's just been a mushrooming affair and just snowballed into an incredible, incredible thing. This writer says, this entire community has been unbelievably supported of so many things. And end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, and Greg, I want us to understand, that's parking outside of a hospital on a parking lot, driving up in caravan and praying, honking the horn and praying. But do you realize that when that is attempted on church grounds, they're saying that you can't do that because you need to stay in your home. You can't get out, drive around, park on a parking lot of a church and have park and pray services on a church grounds. There's some governors and some mayors that are saying that now.
Where's the free liberty? I mean, it's somehow or another being just given up all too easily by way too many folks. By the way, so you know, just like Mike Lindell was absolutely trashed by some mainstream media outlets, you as well will be trashed you believe, I believe, and we share these things publicly. All of a sudden, just like, you know, with the fraud, the scam of anthropogenic global warming, catastrophic anthropogenic global warming that they're calling climate change now. My life always been changing. But as soon as you put a question mark on anything global warming related, and the farce that communities are some in the scientific community have put forward. You have many in the scientific community that have refuted it. But as soon as you put a question mark out there, you're a climate denier. Well, now you're a COVID-19 or a Wuhan flu denier.
You mentioned that about climate change. You realize I have an article where President Obama President Barack Hussein Obama, the Islamic jihadist president that we recently had, that he's now come out of the closet, and he says the whole reason for this coronavirus is because of climate change, that climate change is causing it, and that because President Trump does not believe in climate change, that he's the cause of the virus in America. Greg, hold on. I believe our caller is back on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
No, I wasn't the previous caller. I'm you know who I am.
You're a new caller. Go ahead.
I just want Greg, possibly briefly, on the three major points that he differs with Matt Staver, and I'll hang up. Thank you.
Say again. Did you understand the question, Greg?
I think he missed it. It's not Matt Staver that I'm disagreeing with. It's that Rodney Howard Brown down in Tampa. We'll have doctrinal differences and all. I'm sure Matt Staver and I probably on something. However, what I was pointing out is there are doctrinal differences. But though there are doctrinal differences between churches, we have a responsibility as a fellowship of believers to stand up for right, to stand up for
Absolutely.
Truth. And in this case, I'm standing for that Rodney Howard Brown. So I think there's just a misunderstanding.
I've said to people before, and I'll say again, we may have doctrinal differences, theological differences, but he's standing for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and his rights have been infringed upon, impaired, and as a result of that, I stand with him ironclad and stand with him on the basis that he had the authority biblically, and I believe he has the authority constitutionally, and I believe it'll be validated on that point. He has the authority constitutionally to do exactly what he did. It is my prayer that through his Liberty Council and representation through Matt Staver, it is my prayer that they will have it fast-tracked through the federal courts, not the local courts, but through the federal courts, and we'll get relief in the Florida Supreme Court, and if not, they'll fast-track it to the United States Supreme Court, where I believe there'll be victory on his part, and that's the best thing that can happen, ladies and gentlemen, because we need to have clarity from the standpoint of that churches are essential in our nation today and not a non-essential entity. Greg? I am saddened when I see things where Bill de Blasio says that he's going to close churches permanently. But here's another thought, Greg, for us to bound about. I read an article today from MIT. It is the major research center. It says coronavirus could travel 27 feet, stay in the air for hours, according to the MIT researcher. Dated March the 31st of 2020, social distancing guidelines to stay 6 foot apart may be woefully inadequate, according to scientific warners, saying the coronavirus can travel up to 27 feet and linger for hours upon hours. MIT associate professor who has researched the dynamics of coughs and sneezes for years, warns in the newly published research that the current guidelines are based on outdated models of the 1930s, rather than assumed 6 feet apart. She warns that the pathogen-bearing droplets are of all sizes can travel 23 to 27 feet. Her research, published in the Journal of American Medical Association, warns that droplets that settle along the trajectory can contaminate surfaces, and residue of droplets and nuclei may stay suspended in the air for hours. She notes that in 2020 report from China that showed that the virus particles could be found in the ventilation system in hospital rooms of the patients with the coronavirus that causes it to be airborne, end quote. We're finding questions and comments and differences of opinion from every source that I believe could be found, and I am concerned that we're taking the research, phony, fraudulent, false, fake research that says 2.2 million people could die in America, and using that, or globally as that originally was, and now the president's quoting it as 2.2 million people in America if we do nothing about it. There's a juxtaposition and a confusion on the part of what needs to be done. And may I say again to our listeners, here's an article that says how the constitutional analyst of government restrictions in health care stated. And it goes on to say the final test is one that would be in serious dispute in the right kind of cases that requires the government to show that its compelling interest, number one, and that compelling interest must be pursued in the least restrictive means and methodology, end quote. To close a church is not the least restrictive methodology or means. To shut down churches across America is not the least restrictive. It is the most restrictive, the highest restriction that you can place on any church, and that is to say that you must close down. In fact, another article that says the least restrictive means, and it's in evaluating whether the law infringes upon freedom and religious speech guaranteed in the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has sometimes used as the least restrictive means test the test: a law must be the least restrictive means possible to achieve the compelling state interest. Justices on the High Court have continued to apply the least restrictive means test when evaluating any laws that will restrict the free enterprise or the movement of people, end quote. So, Greg, what do you say to that?
A PhD in sneezology, like those folks at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I mean, for decades, I think we've known that sneezes can travel quite a distance. I think that 27 foot was articulated on one of these programs I watched years ago. What was it? Mythbusters. I think they identified that real well. I mean, to even a common person like myself, I can understand that. But, you know, we're not running around with folks coughing and hacking and sneezing in public. Most of those are at home now. You know, I mean, right now, if you're in Walmart and somebody in the far corner of the store lets out a cough, I guarantee you people will start dodging, bobbing, and running for the doors. So that's not what's going on now. They're taking worst case scenarios and projecting forward to give these numbers at 2 million. I guess you could say 3 million, so that at the end of the day, they can say, look at how many lives we save. Yes, the world's economies, but we save millions of lives. Well, you know, you can do the same garbage with the tax scheme that all these rabid leftists want to do with global warming. By the way, I'm going to keep calling it global warming, catastrophic anthropogenic global warming, because that's what they were pitching. They shifted to climate change because then anything can be what they're saying, you know, anything fits the definition of climate change, because the climate is always changing. Make them eat it. In this particular case, I don't make them eat it, because they can tell all sorts of lies, and at the end of the day, they'll say, yeah, we destroyed everything, but we saved millions of lives. Those same individuals are not concerned about saving millions of unborn baby lives. They're not concerned about saving lives in all these different categories. Today, you have folks, I think the numbers on suicides and calls to suicide prevention centers are soaring. They're scaring people to death, literally.
Yes,
they need to
yes.
cut this stuff out. End on news. I mean, you were just you. Go ahead.
I've got an article here that says Bill Gates is quite confident that he can leverage the coronavirus to make every person on Earth receive a vaccination with his digital ID. Whatever you do, when Bill Gates' vaccination is ready, do not take it, this article says, for any reason, because when it comes to it, it will come with a digital ID or a digital certificate, and it will be evil from stem to stern. The article further says, all you have to do is Google Bill Gates' digital ID, and you'll get a plethora of information regarding the very advanced work Bill Gates and his billions have been conducting with regard to getting every human being digitally identified. After you do that, Google Bill Gates' digital vaccination and see what they returns, what that returns to you. And you will begin to do this research, become clear pretty quickly that Bill Gates has a three-pronged game plan consisting of billions of vaccinations, digital IDs by which he is going to carry out his master plan. It is the mark of the beast, according to this particular writer. No, you should be very afraid and stay away from it. And Greg, here's another follow-up article on that. The article says the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill mandates that high-tech surveillance and data collection system be created to track every U.S. citizen. President Donald Trump signed into law a sweeping stimulus bill that will pump the emergency funding into the CDC to combat the coronavirus, including a surveillance and tracking system to gather data on how the virus is spreading. And by the way, this article goes on to talk about that Bill Gates already has it in mind. Bill Gates is in the very center of all of the dialogue and discussion on a federal level. It's Bill Gates that is now being interviewed by the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic news system in America that's already all of a sudden now put him in a position that he's supposed to be the chief scientist and the chief medical spokesperson about that. Here's another article about Bill Gates, and then we'll dialogue on it. Eugenist and population control advocate Bill Gates saying United States must shut down for a minimum of 10 weeks right now to beat the coronavirus. shut down the country, this article says, develop vaccine and digital ID. That's what the New World Order and the eugenist Bill Gates says America must do, and they must do it now in order to beat the coronavirus. Bill Gates has compiled one of the largest personal fortunes in American history. To say he lives in an ivory tower would be a gross misunderstanding and understatement of his privileged life. He is a long eugenist. He is an abortionist, an abortion for demand control across the world. He has his heart's desire is to give every person on earth a vaccination with the digital ID and to do it right now. Bill Gates stands at the very precipice of seeing his lifelong dream of a new world order come to a spectacular ending. Only one thing standing in his way, America, and America needs to be shut down to accomplish it. And ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is, based on the documentation and based on the understanding of what Bill Gates is doing, Bill Gates for years has been promoting eugenics. Bill Gates for years has been promoting a population control. Bill Gates for years has been wanting to have a vaccination for every human being that will put the microchip. Go to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, and you'll find that when the Antichrist steps on the scene, he will control all of the world with that digital ID in the hand or in the head, and you won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to go to Publix or to any other grocery store and buy what you want because, ladies and gentlemen, it will be totally controlled by government. Greg, we've got about 2 minutes left on the broadcast.
Okay.
Based on what I've just said, wrap up our thoughts and challenge our listeners with what we ought to understand, what we ought to do, how we need to respond.
Well, I'm going to turn this around on you. I'm going to watch a minute. I'm going to see whether or not your CV qualifies as a virologist or as a sneezologist or where your expertise really lies. If you were placed on the witness stand and we asked you about your degree and your history, your decades in ministry, would you count yourself or would you be counted an expert in ministry? I think so.
I don't toot my own horn, but I would absolutely say yes. I have spent a lifetime invested in the study of the Word and the analysis of the Word of God, especially when it comes to Christology and eschatological truth. That is, what does the Word of God say? I happen to believe that from cover to cover, even the front of my Bible, it says genuine leather, and I happen to believe that also. I believe from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22, God said it, that settles it. Whether a Bible denier wants to reject it or not, it doesn't change it one iota. And as a result of that, we can see what the Scripture says. And going back, Greg, to Daniel, the sixth chapter, Daniel did not bow. Daniel, when he was then chided and challenged by the king, he did not bend. And as a result of that, when they threw him into fiery furnace, he did not burn. And that's where we ought to be for Christians. Well, don't bow, don't bend, and we'll be assured, based on the Scripture, not to burn. Greg, we've got 30 seconds. Take us out of this broadcast today.
I wanted to continue to down and ask you where you think this is going. That Second Thessalonians chapter 3 says we're going to see a falling away, and then the man of sin will be revealed. Are we going to see a falling away as a result of this?
Yes, I believe that is the case. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.